Welcome to the Maspergers. Did I just say that weird?
Yeah.
Did I just say weird?
I don't know.
Is it the way I said them?
I feel like it was the welcome.
Oh. What's wrong with the welcome?
I don't know. It was odd.
No. Well, it's the new week. Next week. Next episode. Next everything.
It's still early.
No, don't talk about the earliness. We don't talk about the earliness.
Sorry.
Otherwise, it's the thing. It's the routine. I'm trying to still figure out intros for this. We can't have intros every morning of, hey, it's...
We forgot to, and now we're doing it early. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
We did it early last week, but we didn't mention it.
Right, new intro.
What, you want to start again?
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good. How's life,
I'm trying to think if anything has happened.
Burger related. You kind of started a new job-ish.
Yes.
That was a big thing. You were worried about breaking away from, well...
Well, I still have the old job.
Yeah, I suppose.
This makes it sound like I up sticks. I didn't. I've just got an extra job now.
Yeah, I suppose you wouldn't be ready to up sticks just yet.
No.
No.
But...
Because there is the worry of... well, I suppose if you're changing routine and that, it's a little bit thingy. But yeah, you got one.
Yes, got it.
Yeah.
I started doing it.
Yeah.
I made you come with me.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, lucky for you, it's the kind of job where you can. But yeah, I came with you so that you could go do it because you wouldn't have done it on your own.
Yeah. I freaked out.
Yeah, you did freak out.
I had a burger freak out. I couldn't get it. It went a bit wrong at the start, and I massively panicked and thought I was just going to quit.
Yeah. Like there and then.
Yeah. And it involves cycling, and I fell off my bike twice in one night.
Yeah, you did fall off your bike twice, so it was a good old thing. So, today's...
What about you?
What?
Nothing burger newsy.
Nothing happens with me.
Oh, right,
don't be crazy. I'm a little bit... obviously, I've had my little bit of thinking about stuff too much, and... obviously, I've had my obsession of the week.
Yeah.
2 weeks, but I feel like that's dying down now. I always wonder when you get your obsession kind of things, if it's a sign of something else.
Oh, yeah, it could be.
Like, remember when I said that I do that thing where I leave my flat and I get like a little bit down the road and then I think that I forgot to close my door, even though I've never not closed my door.
Yeah.
There's always that thought where I think, did I shut my door? And it's one of those things where, like, your routine's off for the morning, so, or the day, and you think that you've not done something because the routine didn't go that way. And even though I'm 100% sure I closed my door, like, I'll turn around, like, halfway to work, come back, and then check the door again.
Yeah.
Same with like leaving PowerPoints on or like my oven or something like that. And I know most people do that thing of when they get to wherever they're going, they think, did I leave the oven on? But then like it's a fleeting, no, I probably didn't leave it off. And then they don't think about it. For me, like it's a constant thing. The amount of times I've sent you to my flat to go check that I haven't left the door.
Yeah.
And I know you used to do that thing where you'd take pictures of a closed door for me so that I'd know it was closed. Yeah, it's just one of those sort of things. Like, I've got a camera on my helmet that I use to cycle to work, and I used to film myself checking stuff going around the flat before I'd leave, but then I found that was like too time consuming, because then when I got to where I was going, I was like trying to watch the footage back to make sure that it was definitely closed. Yeah, so things like that were like a sign that something's bothering you, but obviously when you're on the spectrum you don't know exactly what's bothering you, so I think my therapist told me that when I'm doing stuff like that, that's a good indication that something's bothering me. But she also told me that when I'm having the thoughts of did I close the door, I need to just forget them and not go back and check. Even when I really, really, really want to go check, I shouldn't, because I've never not closed it.
But are you capable of that?
I don't know. Like, I did it for a bit. So for a bit, I learned to not keep checking the door and not thinking about that kind of stuff. But it's just lately. It's been coming back. Same with the other thing. My...
Yeah.
Like, that's passed now. But, like, it was pretty bad for a bit. But it's gone. And what I'm talking about is just I was obsessed with buying something. But I kept saying, no, I don't need to. I don't need to. And then I was like, no, but I should. And then I did buy it. And then I spent ages like, oh, you know, is it right? Kept, like, inspecting it with, like,
yeah,
a magnifying glass practically, yeah, trying to decide if it's the right thing. And it was, like, all thought-consuming. But it's passed now. It's gone. At the moment, I have nothing that I'm thinking about a lot. So that's good.
I like talking about your burgers because a lot of the time you don't.
Don't?
Well, like, you definitely have a better control over it than I do. But you, well, when you talk about it, it's...
I guess because it's new for you. So yeah, for you, it's a new thing. We're slowly going through what it's like for you. Like for me, even though I suppose on these podcasts people don't know much about mine, because we mainly talk about yours, but I forget that's because yours is, it's new, you know, it's still undiagnosed. So I just think that yours is more, you know, we're still, I'm trying to, like, until you get, like, actual help from, like, the NHS and that kind of thing where they'll do all your stuff. Kind of feel like these podcasts are a little bit of, like, help for you.
Yeah.
So you can understand it more. There's somebody that messaged us on one of the groups that was saying that they are recently diagnosed. Apparently they've, like, known for a while, but they've been going against getting a diagnosis, and then they've finally gone ahead and get a diagnosis, and now they want to meet more people that have got it so they can understand their own better. They're listening to our podcasts so they can understand their own better, and they're seeing a therapist and that kind of thing, and it's just taking time to get get an understanding of it.
Yeah,
so I always feel like we're doing that more with you, and I don't talk about my own that much.
Yeah.
But I suppose stuff comes up, because even though mine and yours are similar, there's stuff that I do that you don't do, and I think this is one of them. My, like, yeah, obsessive things about stuff being, like,
mint condition
and, like, everything having to be, like, perfect or a, yeah, certain way, otherwise I get weird, and if it's not, I, like, think about it too much. Yeah, I think that's the difference between me and you, is you can just have stuff even if it's a bit, like, scratched, marked, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It don't bother you. Whereas for me, I'm a little bit like, oh.
Well, I'm really clumsy, so if it's not already scratched or marked, it will be within about 5 minutes of me having it, so. But yeah, what are we talking about today?
All right, yeah. So this week I was going to do, just talk briefly. Well, not briefly. Well, yeah, briefly, because it's only over an hour and you can't cover these topics in that time anyway. But I wanted to go into black and white thinking, or the logical side of being on the spectrum. I thought about this, like, following last week's episode on emotions.
Yeah.
That it just made more sense, but black and white thinking is one of those things that seems to be really common with those on the spectrum. It seems to be the way that we are. Something has to be one way or the other. There's no, like, grey areas or, things that have, like, room for interpretation. We're not a fan of that.
No.
I think we were talking about rules last week as well. I think that's where it came into it, that you were sticking to the rules with everything, and
yeah,
that you hate people that don't, and that kind of thing. And even though I said that I, if the rule wasn't set by me, I go against it, but that again in itself is because of black and white thinking that I do that. Because if someone gives me a rule that I don't understand, there's that area of, but why?
Yeah.
And I don't like, but why? So, like, I usually break the rule myself to find out why, and then I've got a set, this is why. And yeah, that's the same with everything. I think it's, like, one of the main reasons why people on the spectrum that do black and white thinking, well, that have black and white thinking, is because you then, that's why we're not able to, like, read between the lines, or things that are open to interpretation of, like, people's opinions, or I'm not a big fan of opinion. you know, like if something's factual. But then equally it makes us more sort of stubborn, I suppose, in the sense of, you know, when something's 100%, you know that's what it is.
Yeah.
But then you're talking to someone and they go, yeah, but I don't believe that. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's that kind of like, you get that kind of like anger. And I think that's...
It does make me angry.
And I think that's what makes us different, or it's one thing that stands out, is we then can't leave it alone with that person that said it, you know? That person that's gone, yeah, that's fine, but like, this is how I think it is. And you're like, no. That's not how that is. That's not how that works. And you can't leave them alone. Like, even if they do that thing where they go, we'll have to agree to disagree, I can't drop it still at that point. I will continue talking to them until they agree that they're wrong. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, a good example of this would be last night.
Yeah, I suppose. But that's... that. Well, maybe that. But I don't know if that's down to black and white thinking.
I was really annoyed at you. Basically, I said something... I said that there was something in a film or like in a TV series and you disagreed with me, and I know I'm right. I still know I'm right. I'm still annoyed by it. It really annoyed me.
Yeah, yeah, but like that's not that. That's kind of what I mean, but no.
Okay.
But, yeah, I know what you mean, but yeah. But that's just because you're wrong about that, but...
Oh my God.
But yeah, no, it's more the... Something's one way or the other.
Yeah.
And there's no middle ground. Like, I can't think that way. And it's got much more of a big effect on things than you think. So it's the same reason why I suppose people on the spectrum are considered to be gullible or believe things. Because we see things that way. Usually when we say something, that's the thing we mean.
Yeah.
And when somebody says something, but it's... not what they mean, we don't understand that. So when someone tells me something, I, you know, believe them. Unless the logic on them is they're someone that I know lies.
Yeah.
Then I don't believe anything they say. But there's no, like, I can't do the some stuff they say is right, some stuff they say is wrong, they're a liar, but some stuff's the truth, some stuff's the thing. They're either a liar and everything they say is a lie, or there's someone that tells the truth and everything they say is the truth, which is a little bit worrying when you have like friends and that kind of thing. Because if you have someone that you always believe 100% tells the truth, they, once they have that like title in your head, can lie and you wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
Whereas if somebody that's a complete liar tries to tell you something that's true, it doesn't matter if what they're telling you is important and you need to know it. You just think, yeah, but you lie. And that's the way, like, I think most people on the spectrum work, is you have to... Everything has to be one thing or the other, and there's no... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's this, and it affects, like, loads of stuff. Like, it affects, like, the way we learn as well, to the way information goes in. I can't do something that's open to interpretation. So if somebody teaches me how to do something and they go... You know what I mean? They leave, like, details out, or they go, or do what you think's best.
Yeah.
You know, then that air of goes, I have to then go, well, what do you think is best? Like, you're the one showing me how to do this. And they go, whatever you think. And it's like, yeah, but what? Do you know what I mean? And then they're like, well, you know, whatever you think would be best for this. And I'm just like, no, what do you want? And like, it affects like decisions and that kind of thing. Like, the amount of times where I've asked you to do something and then you've gone, like, what? And then I've said, oh, it doesn't matter. And you've gone, okay, but what do you mean?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a big part of things. Like, it's one of the things that when I was getting diagnosed, it came up quite a bit, the questions they asked me. Like I told you about they did like a metaphor test thing where they asked me questions. Like, one of the things she said was, what does it mean when you say people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones? She said it because there's obviously that level of, there's the literal meaning of that, like, don't be inside a glass house if you throw stones because it'll break the windows or break the walls or whatever it's made out of.
Yeah.
But she meant the interpretation of what that means as like a saying. And the only reason, I mean, I got that one, I knew what that was because I'd heard that one before and people had told me that. But if somebody used one that I didn't understand, it would take me a while to figure out what they meant because of like the literal thinking.
Yeah.
Of, you know, picturing that. So Yeah, I thought we'd talk about this as a sign of somebody that's got Asperger's. And that, I mean, like, just examples of that kind of thing. I mean, would you say that you're someone that definitely has to have the black and white thinking, doesn't like having to interpretate stuff, needs, like, literal examples of something to understand it? There's no, like, you'll figure it out kind of thing when people ask you to do stuff.
I think I do have black and white thinking. I think, like, predominantly, yeah, but I think just with general, like, getting used to other people and getting, like, and learning as I've gotten older and stuff, I definitely would say I'm better.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm awful. Like, if, for example, things like sarcasm, I understand sarcasm. That's something that a lot of people on the spectrum don't always get.
Yeah, but do you understand sarcasm because the person you're talking to is just someone that's known as sarcastic?
Yeah.
Or could you do it with literally anyone? Or is it just once someone's established as they're sarcastic a lot? Or do they have to do the sarcastic voice?
Yeah.
To be sarcastic? Could someone be sarcastic with you, but then talk in the normal voice and you pick up on it?
I don't know. Like, I like to think that I am all right at it, but I think I'm more all right at hiding it. Like, I think I can, like, if I'm having a conversation with someone at work and I'm not sure what they mean, I can sometimes just go, yeah. And then later on, think back and think, I have no idea what just happened. I don't know. I mean, you see me. You know what I'm like.
Yeah, like, you... Yeah, I mean, but this is what I mean. Like, you can't deal with... you can't deal with things that are being left open to your own interpretation. If someone asks you to do something, you need to know exactly what they want.
I've always been like that. It's the same as, you know, when you are at school and you do, like, English, and in exams they ask you, what do you think this person meant by writing that in the poem?
Yeah.
And there's no right or wrong answer. You just have to describe. I hate that. That's why I preferred maths and things that had answers.
Yeah.
Because for me, there's an answer and then there's wrong. And I don't... Yeah, I've never liked that. And, I mean, gullible, I would say I am pretty gullible.
Yeah, I suppose. But then that's... Like I say, it's... The gullibleness, like, initially I said gullible, but I don't think it's gullible. I think it's just because one thing's one or the other. And there's not that area to make your own, like, are they telling the truth? Is this right? So, like, I mean, in the past I've mentioned gullible. Gullible is always one of those things that comes up a lot about Asperger's, that I always feel like it's bad. But then I thought maybe it is related to this, because... No one wants to be gullible or believe anything. And I guess we are, or can be, it's easier to mislead someone on the spectrum than it is for not to. But then there's that, like, black and white thinking. I think that's what it is. I think that's really what it is, and not really that gullible. And I think that's because you've got no reason to think someone's lying. Like, I suppose NT people have that part of them that goes, is that true? Isn't that true? But because we're not the best at interacting with people, especially someone you don't know, you tend to just believe them. Unless you've got, like, a predetermined, like, set of rules or decisions in your head already about certain things. And that's what I mean. When you've got the logic set in or the opinion set in about something, that's it. It's set in. You know, like, how some people can meet people and then they make that first impression of them and then go, this person's this. And then over time, they can show stuff about themselves that then makes you think, oh, actually, maybe they're not that. With, like, the black and white thinking, for me, once I've made my opinion about someone, that tends to be where it stays.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter what they do at that point to prove it. It doesn't matter. Like, I've put them into, this is the kind of person they are. And then that's that. There's no movement on that.
Yeah. I think for me, when I meet people, I know I have a bit of a routine of what goes through my head when I meet people. So I usually don't talk, because I come across as quite shy. Like, I don't talk to people when I meet them new, if I can help it. So on meeting someone, I'm pretty sort of cold and I don't talk to them. And I think it takes me like 3 or 4 meetings of this person to decide what I think about them. And then once I've decided what I think about them, I won't be cold anymore, because I will have judged their character for myself. But it's only in those first like 3 meetings, and then that's it for me, I would say. So I've decided then what they're like. And I think that's kind of what you're saying, like, that's it for me.
Yeah, like, you that's it. That's who they are as a person.
Yeah.
And then that's how you interact with them. Like, for me, that's how I logically see them from that point on, is I always see them as this certain way.
Yeah.
And there's no changing that. Everything they say or do makes me fit it into that's the kind of person they are. And that's like the rigid...
Would you say for you that it causes problems or difficulties?
I guess so, because you end up like, for me, like, I end up like not liking someone, because especially those that like hide what they're actually thinking, or like true intentions or that kind of thing, even if they're just like a closed off person and quite secretive, not knowing stuff about them makes me like uncomfortable around them. So do you know what I mean? Like, the basic stuff, if they don't want to show anything about them, I get a little bit weird. So then my opinion on them is that they're not shifty, but secretive, which makes me not want to interact with them. But then some people are just, you know, don't talk about themselves that much.
Yeah.
But, like, I get uncomfortable. The more I can know about someone, the easier it is for me to make a decision on what kind of person they are, which then helps me decide on how I can talk to them or interact with them. But yeah, then that's a bad thing, because obviously I'm basing my opinions on what I know about NT people. And obviously all NT people are different, and they have different personalities and that kind of thing. But say, like, I misinterpret, because I'm likely to, obviously with like the empathy, sympathy thing, you can pick up somebody's intentions wrongly.
Yeah.
Set it in stone, this is the kind of person they are, and then I'm not moving from that point, because that's my logical thinking on that's who they are. And then there's nothing they can do about that. That is just how I see them. And I found myself not liking somebody or not liking, you know, something because of how I've decided that's what it is. And having loads of people tell me that, like, I should reconsider, or going, they're a nice person, or they're all right to hang out with. And then me just being like, yeah, I don't like them. But then people go, why? And I'm just like, I just don't like them. you know, and there's no movement on that. Like, I suppose it's the same with trying new things or that kind of thing. Once I've made my mind up, I've made my mind up. But, like, I suppose decisions fall into this as well, because you have to, you know, I mean, you have to make a decision on one thing or the other. And, you know, like, when you've got to make a decision, that's worse than the making of the decision. You know, when you've got to decide on something, or you've got to decide whether to do something, that unknowing, or, you know, the gray area of what's going to happen here, makes it way harder to make a decision, I think, if you're on the spectrum, to those that aren't. Those that aren't sometimes can just make decisions on stuff.
Yeah.
Like, just, oh, whatever, it doesn't matter. But, like, I think for me and for you, like, all decisions are big decisions, even when they're over little stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So we need to know what we're going to do. And you don't like that, you know, that, like, bit before where you've not done one or the other.
Yeah.
You still got to decide. You need to just pick one and then go there, which is why, you know, you need more information on something to make a decision. You ever made a decision when you weren't sure and you've decided? You have that bit after where you spend all your time obsessing about, should I have done the other one?
Yeah.
And that's because you didn't know enough, you know?
Yeah, I do that. I do that all the time. Just talking about this is making me think of a decision I made the other day and questioning whether I did the wrong thing.
What was it about?
At work, someone asked me to get them a drink.
Yeah.
I couldn't find the drink specifically that they wanted, so I got them one that I thought was similar.
Yeah.
And now I'm just thinking, it was wrong. It wasn't the right drink. Should I have done that? Should I have just not got them anything? Would that have been better? Because then what if they didn't like the drink that I got them, even though it's kind of similar? Would they rather have just not had a drink at all instead of having to pretend to want this drink that I'd got them?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, when someone says, like, you know, you do the friendly thing of you're going out for your lunch break and you go, oh, does anybody want anything? And then they go, oh, yeah, just get me
I hate that.
Just get me something to drink. And you go, what? And they go, oh, I don't mind.
Yeah.
If you know that person and if you know what they want, it's easy. But when people go make that decision, like, they don't realise what they've done.
Yeah.
Like, they don't realise what they're asking. There's that kind of, what do I get? What don't I get? What you need is for them to go, this is what I want. Get me this. And some people just don't. Some people just go, oh, just get me anything. And you're like, yeah, but what? And they're like, oh, I don't mind. Like, yeah, but what do you want? And then, do you know what I mean? Like, because I tend to go for my personality at work is a little bit, I suppose, dry, or I'm a little bit stern with people. I can get away with then going, tell me what you want or you'll get nothing.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I have that advantage. But that's because I don't want that, like, grey area of getting to a shop where I'm then going, oh, what should I buy? What should I get? What do they want? You know, sometimes I'll then message them and be like, seriously, what do you want? Do you want this? Do you want that? And that's because there's not that, you need to know. There's not that kind of, like, area of, oh, it doesn't matter, I'll get this, I'll get that, this is similar. There's just that kind of, like, this is the decision, this is what they want. And yeah, I guess that's why, because you had to decide that for them, and they weren't, like, straight in there with the, this is it, get nothing but this.
I hate having to make decisions on things. I think for me, I'm not a fan of the black and white thinking. I would rather not have it. I see, like, areas where it can be an advantage, and I think this kind of bleeds into emotion as well, but the logical side of it and being able to look at things from a logical perspective, I get that. But I find that more often than not, for me, I will get frustrated. I think it's why I don't have a big group of friends and don't keep many friends, is because I find it really frustrating if people aren't telling me exactly how they feel. It's different as you get older as well, but, like, from school, for example, when you're at school and you have, like, all of the, like, other children around you, and one person's annoyed at you for something you've done, but they haven't directly told you that they're annoyed at you because of this thing you've done. They're just expecting you to work it out.
Yeah.
Things like that I find really frustrating. And that does still happen, probably not as much and not as petty, but it does still happen in, like, adult friendships. And I don't like that. Or I don't like the expectation of, like, hints. I'm not good at hints. I don't pick up on hints. So if you've got a friend and they're upset over, like, a breakup, and they go into, oh, I've got nothing to do tonight, I've really got nothing to do tonight, it's not until maybe the next day, or if someone else tells me, that I'll go, oh, did they want me to go round theirs or to invite them round mine? Is that what was meant to happen? I don't pick up on stuff like that. So I find that frustrating, because then when I do work it out, or if someone does tell me, I get annoyed at myself that my brain didn't, like, work that out. That's something I find irritating. And then I'm annoyed. I'm just annoyed that they couldn't just be direct about it.
Yeah.
Because if they start saying to me, oh, I've got nothing to do tonight, all my head does is think, oh, I'm doing this tonight.
Yeah. Or I just think, like, you know, like when they say it early on in the day, like, yeah. I've got nothing to do tonight, I do just then start thinking, oh yeah, I'm sure you'll figure something out. It's quite early in the day. You know, that kind of thing. You take it as like face value as what it is.
Yeah.
They're just making a comment that they've got nothing to do tonight. There's no like, do you want to do something? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's no, if they'd have just gone, I'm doing nothing tonight, what are you doing? Do you want to do something? That's easier. But like, I think this whole like open to interpretation comments, like none of them ever work. I don't understand. And I suppose there's like a, I don't know, like an etiquette to conversation with the neurotypical people, and they have a way of understanding each other's like hidden meanings.
Yeah.
But like, you're either asking to do something that night or you're not.
Yeah.
Like, there's no like, this is what I actually mean, but this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're either saying, do you want to do something tonight? Or you're just making a random comment that has no relevance to the conversation.
When people talk to me as well, I don't see it from their perspective. I see it from my perspective. So I can't really, I can only think as I would think. So if someone says, I've got nothing to do tonight, I never have anything to do any nights, really. But in my head, I think, oh, that's nice, a nice night in, doing nothing, because that's what I like to do.
Yeah.
So if someone says that, I think, oh, great, like, nice for you, I'm glad. And I feel like that it sort of works into other things as well. I do tend to just see things from my perspective, which is why sometimes, like, I can come across as kind, because if someone says, oh, I haven't got this, and it's something that I would want, like for example, if someone hasn't got chewing gum and I love having chewing gum, and I know what that's like to want it, if I've got gum, I'll always be like, I'll have some of mine, because I can see how they're feeling. But if someone says something like that they want to do that I have no desire to do, I don't think, oh, they really want to do that. I think, oh, luckily you're not doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think a lot of the time I don't know if it's selfish, because I don't, like I say, it works in a good way as well. If it's something that I understand that someone wants to do, I'll help them because I understand it. It's just when it's things that I don't get or I wouldn't want to do that I think, no.
I suppose, but that's might be the empathy-sympathy thing.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get what they want because you can't see it from their point of view.
Yeah.
But yeah, in my case, like when I've got gum, I don't share it, because the only way I'll share it is if somebody goes, can I have some gum? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think nobody wants it because nobody's asking for it. And that's like the difference. But yeah, I can see why you don't like, interpretive stuff. So, you know, like when we were talking about, like when you were at school, the subjects that they were like, there's no right or wrong answer to this.
Yeah.
You're even a little bit like that with science, I think, because there's like sometimes a science where there's just theories.
Yeah.
And I think theories are one of those things that people with Asperger's don't get along with.
No.
You know, or like, you know, when people do hypotheticals.
Yeah, I hate that.
Like that kind of thing. Because it's not happening. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
Could be a thing, but it's not a thing. Yeah, so, like, there's that. I can't deal with that because it's not, you don't know. Like, you were talking about, like, things like the social sciences, like psychology, sociology, those sort of things, where no matter what you prove, there's another theory that says
the opposite.
Yeah, that it's this. And yeah, there's that. That's too like frustrating to decide whether or not, you know, that's worth it. And that's how it is. I think it's also, I think the black and white thinking is why people with Asperger's can't do hypotheticals. You know, like imagine yourself doing this or doing that. I mean, obviously we do some hypotheticals. I always talked about, like, you know, if we won the lottery, what we do. But that's, even then though, like, you know, when you do that, when I do, you know, for a lot of people, they do the imagine if this and you imagine it. I struggle with the imagining part. So what I do is I start thinking about it and then this part of me goes, so it'll happen.
Yeah.
Because I can picture it.
Yeah.
It's like I've explained to you before, when I said I did something and I shouldn't have done it. There's this part of me that thinks I can genuinely change what happened. Like,
oh yeah,
go back in time and sort it.
I have that so bad.
And I think that's one of the things there, is that I've got it in my head that it could be fixed, and I figured out how to fix it. So it doesn't occur to me that it's in the past and I can't do anything about it. I genuinely think I can go back and sort that then.
Yeah.
And I think that's because what I'm thinking about is hypothetical, but my brain is not letting me see it as a hypothetical. I'm seeing it as something that could happen, and that's how I'm dealing with it.
It's funny you mention it, because this week I've had this one thing that happened probably a few months ago, but it keeps coming into my thoughts, and I keep changing it in my head to what I wish had happened. And it, like, in reality, I can't go back. But it's weird, because all week this week it keeps coming up. It keeps coming into my thoughts, maybe like every few hours. I think about it. I think about how I'd change it. And then I almost have to like snap myself back into, this can't happen though.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but it's something that I haven't thought about for ages. And just all of a sudden it keeps coming into my thought process, and I don't know why. But yeah, I definitely have that, where I think that I can change things that have happened in the past.
Yeah, I think that's, like I say, it's you're thinking about something that can't be done, but I'm still trying to apply it can be done.
Yeah.
Like logic to it. So it makes it difficult. Like, at no point do I think I can't do it. But in some ways that actually feels a little bit better. So when I do think about it, I do think, like, I could fix it. And that, for some reason, makes the embarrassing thing or the thing that I didn't want to happen that happened feel a little bit better, even though I can't do anything about it. Thinking about how I could do something about it makes it better. But yeah, the I feel like the... Do you know, like, the way we are, like, with other people... And, you know, like when somebody says they're going to do something and then they don't do it.
Yeah.
Meet you somewhere, they don't turn up. Or supposed to do something at work and then don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is where I find that I get irritated with people that do change their mind.
Yeah.
Or do say they're going to do something. Because once I've got it in my head, that's what's going to happen. I can't differ from that. I'm not free to move away from that. And initially, like I say, it could be seen as routine or messing with schedule, but I think that also is related to this, is when something's supposed to happen and then doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's really disorientating and frustrating to somebody on the spectrum, because you have said it as, it's like, if somebody at work has something they're supposed to do, you know you can get it done in like this period of time and it's easily done, and that particular task should only take that long, and they take longer, or they can't do it, and you know what I mean, like, there's that. I don't really have like room for like understanding on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm very sort of like, how is this not done yet, why is this not done yet? And it's the same with anything, you know, if something's supposed to happen and then someone goes, oh, we're doing this now, or we're changing it to this now.
Yeah.
Like, once you've got that locked into your head, this is it, and then it's like, this is the definite thing. Like, you can't move away from that.
Yeah.
There's no ability to change your mind. You know, like, you're supposed to get something. It's like even something like set when, like, something's supposed to be delivered.
Yeah.
On the day, and then, like, Amazon or whatever go, it won't happen today, it'll happen tomorrow. Most people can go, oh, that's all right then, I'll just get it tomorrow.
Yeah.
But like, when you've got it in your head that it's, that's definitely it now, that's what's going to happen today, and then it doesn't, like, it can really
mess with you.
Yeah, like, it becomes like, why is it not happening? And like, you start thinking of ways to get it to happen now.
Yeah.
Like, you start messaging Amazon saying, you need to deliver it today. It needs to happen now. And it's not the same reason as like neurotypical people who are just frustrated because the thing that they ordered, they needed for that day, or they'd paid for next day delivery and it hasn't happened. For somebody on the spectrum, it could be something that you don't really need, and it could be something that had it have not turned up, and even if they'd told you, oh, it's not showing up for another 3 weeks, but that was the original agreed date, you'd be fine.
Yeah.
It's part of your, this is happening today.
Yeah.
This is now locked into my thought processes of part of my day. This is going to be, and then it changes.
It's difficult because the thought processes, they're just so locked in. Like, just like it was when you mentioned Amazon, I was thinking about the other day how frustrated I got, but it was because I read in the bath. I read a Kindle. I decided I needed like a waterproof cover for the Kindle, and I couldn't read in the bath without the waterproof cover, even though I've been reading my Kindle in the bath for months without this. I've decided that now I need it.
Yeah.
So I ordered it, and I'd planned that the next day I finished work at 6, I was going to come home, I was going to eat dinner, I was going to have a bath at 8 o'clock, and I was going to read my Kindle in the bath for an hour or an hour and a half. And I had it all planned out, and like all of these things had been like planned in my brain. And then Amazon couldn't deliver this waterproof cover until the next day. And it like really messed with me. I was like, what am I going to do? I can't read in the bath without this cover, even though I've been doing it for ages. So this means that I can't have the bath, or I'm going to have the bath without reading, but I have to read in the bath because that's what I like doing when I'm in the bath. Yeah. And all of these things just massively messed with me. And it got to a point where I wanted to stay at work later just so I wouldn't have time when I got home, and I felt like it would calm me down. So I was looking at like, could I swap shifts with someone, because I don't want to come home at 6 o'clock and then not have the thing that I planned to do happen. And it was like, I think that's, I mean, some of that's routine, because some of that's messing with a sort of routine that I planned, but I think some of it is the black and white thinking, because you've just black and white thought this is going to happen, this is set in stone, and it is that.
Yeah.
It is sort of messing with you.
Amazon have said, this is coming here today.
Yeah.
And that in itself has been, like, set in your head, which has then made you build a routine off that one, like, given thought that you're definitely going to do that, and then that one thing changes, so it then like breaks everything else. The routine that's built off that one thought of this will definitely be the way it's going to be has then like completely ruined the day. And then you start trying to like fix a new schedule together or routine together really quickly, like staying late at work. And the reason you're trying to do that is because you now associate the bath with the Kindle and the Kindle with the case.
Yeah.
So had you have got home and seen the bath, there'd be the natural like burger instinct to run the bath because that's what you do when you get home. But then that reads to get my Kindle.
Yeah.
But then that goes to, wait, there's no cover on the Kindle.
Yeah.
And then you think Amazon said they were going to bring me that thing. And then you just find yourself getting like angry again.
And it's like, now I've already like had the thought process of I need the cover for the Kindle. It's like I can't get out of it. It's weird things. It's like once I've got something, even if I have just got it now and I've been going fine without it for the past however long, now that I've got it, I can't not have it.
Yeah, it's like anything. Like once you've got it established that this is how this is, you can't not have it. And there is a period where you didn't have it.
And you were fine, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that's sort of black and white sort of way of thinking. I also find, I don't know if this is to do with thinking black and white, but it's definitely to do with the way I think. I always think I know what someone's thinking, and for me that is black and white. There's no part of me that goes, but maybe they're not thinking that way. In my head, whatever I think they're thinking, they're 100% thinking, and there's no
changing that. That's definitely one.
Yeah, like I will be having a conversation with someone, and if I've got in my head that they're thinking she needs to stop talking now, there's no part of me that's like, but maybe they're enjoying this conversation. I'll just walk off. I'll just walk away because I'll have decided in my head that they don't want to talk to me anymore. If I'm having a conversation with someone and they're being really nice and really friendly, but I've already got in my head that they hate me, I'll think they hate me. Even like I can't can't even sometimes describe why I've come to this conclusion, but I always think that I know what people are thinking.
Yeah, and this is it. Like, this is the black and white thinking, in the sense that it's set in stone.
Yeah.
So, like, you've made the decision that you know what people are thinking. I've got the exact same problem, because I, like I've mentioned in one of the way earlier episodes, that I associate the same people with the same faces, and that everybody has the same face to me. It's just one of a different variation of face. And depending on what face they've got, depends on how I talk to them.
Yeah.
That is how I do everything. I didn't discover that until much later on. It was something that came up when I was in therapy, that's what I do, that everybody to me looks like somebody else I've already met. And I don't see new faces. I don't actually see strangers. I see everybody, and everybody looks the same to me. And then I've set certain, like, personalities to each face.
Yeah.
And depending on what face they got, depends on what personality I think they have, and that's how I interact with them. Now, it could be that the way I interact with them makes them behave in a certain way that then fits my criteria, or I'm actually right. Like I said before, the therapist reckons that everybody does it. It's just everybody does it on an unconscious level, and I, for some reason, do it in a way that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
But anyway, the thing is before that, I thought, because, like, I got into trouble a lot in school because I didn't understand what people meant, and I misinterpreted everything everybody did, which made my interactions with them weird, and they found me, like, rude or aggressive or dry, or, and it could have just been frustration as, like, a child of not understanding what people actually mean, and then getting to trouble because they think I know what they mean.
Yeah.
But I'm choosing to do the opposite. I obviously started studying the way people sit, the way people talk. I started, like, making a mental note of somebody I know's, like, base level, how they normally interact.
Yeah.
And then when they differ from that, trying to decide if that means they're happy, if that means they're angry, you know, that kind of thing. But I originally thought that down to I know what they're thinking. And I did the same thing. And the trouble is that thought locked in my head.
Yeah.
Of I know what they're thinking. So then that meant that everybody I talked to, I thought, I know what you're thinking. Because obviously I'd see a face that then fits the pattern of the whichever person.
Yeah.
They behave a certain way. I think I know what they're thinking. And that made me generalize that everybody's pretty much the same, and nobody's unique, and everybody's, you know, the same person, and everybody has the same drive, same wants, same needs. I still think that now. And it's because I said it in my head as this is how this is at such a young age that I can't really move away from it. I told my therapist all this. I told her that I know what people are thinking, and she said, you can't know what people are thinking. Yeah. No one can ever know what someone's thinking. No one can read thoughts. No one can hear people's thoughts. You'll never know what someone's thinking, ever. However, she said it, but because the thought was so locked in my head that I just kind of then kept going, but I can.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, you can't. And I was like, no, but I can, though. And she was like, no, you really can't understand what anyone's thinking. You don't know what anyone's thinking, ever. Yeah. But I can't shake that. It doesn't matter what people tell me.
Yeah.
I can't change my mind on that one. I just think that I do know. And, you know, she was telling me, giving me all this evidence, explaining to me all these things that made sense, that I was just like, yeah, you're right, that makes sense. I couldn't do that. I can't do this. That is impossible. But at the end of it, she was like, so you see, you can't. And I was just kind of was like, but I can. And yeah, like, it's like the way, I suppose it's like, it gives you like a level of stubbornness as well, the black and white thinking, because once you've got something in your head that that's how it is, that's how it is. It's like when I was in previous relationships, once I was diagnosed as having Asperger's, once I was involved with like my ex-girlfriend and anybody else I met, I would just tell them I had Asperger's. But I'd then just go, this means I can't do this, I can't do this, and I will do this. And at that point, I don't then think I could change.
Yeah.
I think I'm not going to.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's where the difference is as well. So when now, when people say, you should try this, or you should do that, or, you know, maybe you could try seeing things this way. My mom does it. Like, she'll try to, like, help me with stuff by, you know, she will apply, like, logic of stuff that works for her.
Yeah.
And she'll, and, like, I do believe that NT people can read a way of thinking and then change the way they think.
Yeah.
And then think, okay, if I start seeing the world this way, this might things better. And you hear NT people all the time that have said, like, oh, I've started looking at everything this way now and everything's got easier.
Yeah.
Whereas I think when you're on the spectrum, you just can't do that. Yeah. But then, like, can I not do that? Because the thought in my head is that I can't do that. And I believe that I can't do that so much that I can't do that. Or is it genuinely I can't do that? You know, like, it's hard to tell. It's hard to differentiate from what's real and what's not once you've locked a thought in. That is how it is now. That is, like, one of the guidelines or one of the rules now. And there's no changing that. There's no moving away from that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. Like, and there's certain things that I believe that I've put in my head, and it won't matter at this point now what proof somebody has or what someone tells me or how logical their argument may be. It doesn't matter, because that's not how it is to me.
Yeah.
And I suppose there is that air of stubbornness. I think I am quite stubborn. Like you said, the thing last night when you were convinced something was in this TV series.
Yeah.
It's locked in there.
Yeah.
That is how it is.
Yeah.
I'm telling you it's not. But, you know, that's, I guess that's like, because we need, I suppose when you haven't got like the proper, I mean, it's not that people in Asperger's don't have empathy, sympathy. It's just different. It works differently. It's the unable to interpret stuff. It's the unable to, do you know, like, we have instinct, but it's not the same instinct as NT people. NT people like have like a good instinct, or they always go, I'm a good judge of character, or, you know, those kind of phrases you hear NT people saying that you just don't say yourself.
Yeah.
And that's because, so you're on the spectrum. So I think what you have to do is you have this black and white thinking of, you know, setting down like the rules with this is that, this is this. And then we're there, we're stuck to that.
Yeah.
It doesn't move. It doesn't change. We don't need to then whatever. Once I've made my mind up, or once I've got my opinion, that opinion for me almost becomes the fact that I follow.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. And I, most people on the spectrum, in fact, I've not come across anybody on the spectrum that doesn't have black and white thinking. It is something, and it is one of those things, one of those criterias that people look for. You know, like how I said stimming, when we did the stimming one, was one of those things people look for when they try and figure out someone's spectrum. I think the black and white thinking is the same. It's like when you're, it's like when you go somewhere, like to a shop to buy something, because the website says it's there, the website says they've got one in stock in store, and then you get there and they go, sorry, I haven't got that.
Yeah.
Like, NT people have that air of, that's life. You know, unless they're one of those people that just isn't used to not getting their own way, and then it's different. Whereas, like, on the spectrum, it can be seen as throwing a tantrum because you're not getting your own way, but it's not. It's because it's in your head that that's there, and that's what it is, and it's definitely going to be there because this thing says it's definitely there.
Yeah.
And then to get there and someone to go, this isn't it, like, it's not the same as, like, oh, that's frustrating, I really wanted that. There's this, like, kind of, everything doesn't make sense for a bit.
Yeah.
And it's not just that one thing of this shop doesn't make sense. It's hard to understand why. You don't understand why it's not there. Why would one thing say something when it's not there?
Yeah.
You know, and there's loads of examples, I suppose, you could think of where something was definitely supposed to happen and then just didn't. And it's not the same as anyone else that can just go, things change. You just sort of, you're really, like, thrown off, and, like, there's an unbalance to, like, everything for ages.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while to sort things back out again because you've locked it in that this is how this is.
Yeah.
And then when it changes, you can't deal with it. You can't understand it. And, yeah, I suppose it's one of the downsides to it, I guess. You think any pros of black and white thinking?
Well, yeah, like I said, I think the pros are the logicalness, like the logicalness, the being logical can be useful in certain situations. I think there's a pro to it for people on the spectrum. I think for us, having this black and white sort of rigid way of thinking is helpful because it helps us not get, like, overloaded with Like, if, because if we struggle to make decisions as it is, I think having like a no, this is this and this is this is helpful, because it stops us going, but could it be this, or could it be this, or could this happen? Like, I think it helps with the, otherwise I think I would obsess over things a lot more if I didn't have a predetermined, I think it's this way or this way.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's why we're not good with the unknown.
Yeah.
Like starting your first job, like your day at your first job, not knowing anything about how anything works or anything happens. You know, it's the same reason why we need to know what a place looks like before we can go to a place.
Yeah.
And we only go to places that we know what they look like. So yeah, there's probably that element to it, is that you can't do anything unless you know what it is, and trying to do something that's too mysterious, too like it's too, you have no idea anything about it, makes it really hard to actually go do it.
So
I know what you mean.
I'd say so. I think it's a pro, like I like the fact that I don't that for me things are just set in stone. I like that I don't have to think too much about them, because I think that would take a lot of time, considering that I also have loads of other thoughts going through my head constantly. I'd hate it if I also was unsure about certain things. So I'd say that's a pro. Are there any others you can think of?
Well, like you said, it's, I would say it's a pro for those on the spectrum. It makes us good at like being truthful with people. We're a lot better at that, I think, at saying what we mean and what we're thinking, because we don't, think grey. We can't give answers that are interpretive. We tend to just give answers that are either one way or the other, which I think is nicer for some people. Some people have told me that it's like refreshing to have a conversation with me because I just say what I'm thinking, or they don't then go, yeah, but did he mean that? You know, I don't say things that have like a read between the line statement or like a hidden under meaning. It is what it is. I say what it is. When people have said to me in the past, like, yeah, but do you mean that? Or are you really trying to hint at something else? I've then had to go, no, I'm not. If I was going to, if I meant that, that is what I would have said. So when people get that about me, they find it easier to interact with me because, there's no like, yeah, but what's he really mean? And I would say that like it helps in the sense of, like you said, once you've got set guidelines in of stuff yourself and like you've locked in certain stuff, it does make those decisions easier, because you don't really have to make a decision. It's either one thing or the other. So I suppose there's that, in the sense of, like you said, we're thinking about other stuff all the time, so it's handy for that. But I think being able to stay logical in situations that are, for everybody else, like too stressful or too worrying or that kind of thing. Like if I'm in a situation that everyone else like gets upset about or gets freaked out about, for me, if I've already like decided or already have it in my head, there's no, like, I suppose like fear or emotion takes over. I just go, it's this, is this. So yeah, I suppose I can see it as a benefit to talking to other people, because for them it's different. I suppose like neurotypical people like to play like emotional games sometimes with each other, where, you know, they mean something but they mean something else, and there's like that kind of manipulative like thing about them.
Yeah.
Whereas I suppose with people on the spectrum, we don't manipulate others, because we just say what we mean. And that's because that's how we do everything. And yeah, it means we're good at, like, I suppose, sticking to the rules. You know, like when I'm at work, I stick to company guidelines, like, properly.
Yeah.
There are obviously, like, just, you know, when people say, like, oh, it's management's discretion. Management discretion to me is something I don't do. It is what it is. It's one way or the other. If we're supposed to do something a certain way, we're supposed to do it. The discretion of changing your mind, like, I know there's been times where things have happened at work where there's been discretion and something's been changed, and I've looked over at you and you've looked so confused.
Yeah.
Like, you've not understood what the hell's just happened.
Yeah.
Like, something's supposed to happen a certain way, and they've gone, for the sake of, like, the case-by-case situation, they've
oh, I can't deal with it. I get really upset.
They've changed their mind and gone, no, we're going to have to do it this way now. I can see the look of your face, but no, this is not the rules. This is not how this is. This is not the way it's supposed to work. So I guess, like, for those people that need things done a certain way or have to have something done particularly, I suppose getting someone on the spectrum to do it is a benefit because you know they're going to do it exactly the way you wanted them to. Providing that, I suppose, you haven't been vague with your instruction and that you have explained why it has to be done that way and gone into, I suppose, a level of detail that then that thought has gone into the person on the spectrum's head, but they've gone, okay, this needs to be done this way for this reason.
Yeah.
If you're vague about it, that's when you start doing things wrong because you start thinking, well, I don't know what they actually mean, so I'm going to have to just try and guess this. But I think, like, if you've embedded it enough in someone's head, this is how it is, I think trusting someone on the spectrum to get something done exactly the way you wanted to is, that's it, because you've put it in their head, they've locked it in, this is the way it is. And that's that. Like, they'll get it done.
Yeah.
I suppose they won't be like, I know you said this, but I thought this would be a better idea because, you know, this is how it is. For me, there's no thought of me that goes, I could do it this way because this is what they've said. But if I do it this way, this might be better.
Yeah.
I just tend to go, they said this way, this is the way it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I suppose there's that thing to it, you know, like, I suppose we're consistent as well. Like, I can replicate the same thing over and over again because of that, you know. Like, I don't feel like I would do something wrong, do something different, do the same job twice, but do it different each, you know, both times.
Yeah.
Like, I will systematically do the same thing over and over again, and that's what I'm good at because there's that part of my, like, head that's gone, this is how it is, and I won't differ.
Yeah.
I won't go, I did do it this way, but this time I'm gonna do it this way. Once I've locked it in, this is how it's happening, I will do it exactly the same way every time. And that's the same with everything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that does feed in a little bit to routine, but, you know, I think it's also the routine came from an initial, this is how this is, this is the fastest way of doing this. That is that now. I won't be told otherwise. If someone tells me, I think this way's faster, I just tend to not even bother listening. I just tend to go, yeah, whatever. And then, like, carry on doing it the way I'm doing it. I think routines come from that. Each aspect of it, you've decided this is the best way to do this. And then there's no change in your mind on that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. Time is up.
See you next week.
Is that it? Is it? Nothing else? No more chat. You're just going to go. You're done.
Wow.
Scarlet's out.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, again.
Thank you.
For
Your messages as well.
Yeah, messages. Yeah, we've had a few. We've had a couple this week. We've had loads more followers on the Facebook page.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Again, the Facebook page, again, for those that are still on there, Them Aspergers or at Them Aspergers. Twitter, it's at @them_Aspergers because, like I said, Twitter likes to be a bit fancier.
Yeah.
We've got a page on both. Currently, the Instagram page is not there. So those that are following it or with it, it's not gone. It's just we've had some, like, weird issues with it. So it's down for the moment, but it should go back up in a week or two. So those that are following that, it just isn't there for the moment, so I'm afraid you won't see any of my weird doodles this week.
Yeah.
But it will go back up, but we're still on Facebook, still on Twitter, still on Anchor, Spotify, every other ones are there, just not the Instagram one for this week, possibly next week. But it will go back up eventually. But yeah, thanks again for listening.
Thank you.
That have listened to this, we'll be doing another episode again next week. I actually have a topic for this week. Something's come up in this podcast that has made me want to talk about it next week. But I won't say what it is. You'll just have to wait a week for that.
How exciting.
But yeah, that's it.
Bye.